This is There Goes My Money.
Welcome, everyone, to another There Goes My Money, episode number 39, recorded on 4/22/2008. It is a Sunday.
2018.
Yeah,
what year did you just say?
In time.
He said 2008.
Yeah.
which would be a real trick, since RFC had not even come back at that point.
It was in existence, just wasn't airing.
Yes, it was an extended hiatus. It was sleeping. Shh.
This is one of the lost shows that was lost.
There goes my money throwback.
So yeah. I'm 8 years old.
Yes, you are.
This should be interesting.
How will we know the difference?
Wow.
And this week,
hi, Diecast.
Hi. Today we have Chris, aka XV, Eric, aka Crowbar,
the 8 year old,
and Jason, aka Jason Kirk.
Yeah, I'm not special.
Old He'll man. Always be old.
Yes, he will.
Sadly.
Just like Jason or the other Captain Kirk.
Yeah, he's up there now.
But this is the first week on almost at RFC. There Goes My Money, where we actually have a topic. And the topic this week is recolors and reissues. So let's go ahead and get into the first recolor.
I was going to say, what could have possibly prompted this?
Yeah. We got Source Ryu
Beastructor. Source Ryu-o.
Yeah, Ryu-o, Ryu.
Toys. He doesn't know how to say the names,
obviously.
I just go all Street Fighter on it. This is the Beastructor combiner set, which is Monstructor,
yeah,
I believe. And it's pretty.
It is. I wonder if it'll come out in June like it says. I'm just kidding. I don't wonder.
Well, I mean, they are recolors, so it shouldn't be too hard to meet that.
It shouldn't, but will it?
I would think the retailers at this point would know, like, don't tell us that you're going to release this until it's, like, basically ready to walk out the door of the factory, because we know otherwise it's not going to be right.
Yeah, what do you think of this set, Chris?
I'm not interested in it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is the one Don's been asking
by some
for.
Means or another. I think there's an equal by some means or another. I think there's an equal chance that we will get something Monstructor related using some of the Terracon tooling that we're getting in Power of the Primes right now. And even if we don't, I'm not super into this team, especially without the Pretender shells, which there's a whole other can of worms.
Yep.
Yeah, someone at TFCon has to ask him if we're going to get the Pretender shells. That's what Matt was saying. I want a Monstructor. So when I saw this, I was like, oh, that's pretty. I kind of like it. But then I thought to myself, we're probably going to get a Power of the Primes Monstructor. There's alternative. We've already seen alternative tooling for at least one of the members so far. So either way, I can wait it out for a year, and this thing will probably be on sale in a year.
Well, and there's the other thing, too. Like, if I was going to get a version of these molds, I would get the originals so I'd have a representation of Dino King.
Right.
Which is, you know, the much more expensive, harder to get thing in the original context, and it's something that's less likely to come back around as a Generations release. Especially with Takara basically just copying Hasbro's products at this point, and Legends being in limbo. So, I mean, I would definitely favor the originals over this set at this point, and probably could get the originals cheaper, too.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious how much they would... This comes out to $60 a member for
that's
this.
That's not bad.
That's what I was thinking. It's not bad.
Yeah, but yeah, it's kind of... It's a big cost all up front.
Right.
To me, a lot of the interest in this comes to the history of what happened with Dino King. What was the whole thing with the Pretender shells? Like, they were supposed to be exclusive, and then they just released them anyways or something weird like that? Because I know Don had a big problem with them.
I mean, okay, so they wanted to produce the Pretender shells from the start. Like, that was part of the plan with those toys all along. But apparently they made that plan without really researching the costs of doing giant rotocast vinyl pieces. with the resources they had and the scale of production they would have been looking at, it was coming out to be super, super expensive for them to do that. They did, one or two were run as like convention exclusives. I think one was like TFCon Toronto.
Sounds right.
For one of the retailers. And it was something like at that point, they weren't even sure they'd be able to produce the rest of the shells. So I think at some point along the way, they just said, screw it, we'll produce the rest of them in what quantity we can afford to and just let them all go. And that's just kind of going to be what's out there for the people who really want them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know some places were clearancing them and other places I noticed still have them for like $90 a piece.
Jeez.
If you still want the... Yeah, so that was like a botched project from the beginning, I feel like. But, you know, they did get them all out, which is good.
I do remember there being a little bit of a issue with, I think it was the first figure, that the Dino Ichi, I think it was, where the hip ratchets would like shear themselves apart.
Yes.
So there were some tweaks they had to do. There were some fixes you could do. So hopefully that's something. Yeah, go ahead and recolor it, guys. How about we make sure the hip joints won't shear themselves either? Would be great.
Did they release replacement parts for that with one of the subsequent members?
I believe so.
Think so. So I assume that this would be the one that has all the fixes for all of them just built in.
Let's hope.
Plus, this comes all in a set. We're not getting them member by member, so we don't get a fix later.
You get
everything at once, so
that's always reassuring.
Yep.
Yep. We will get back to fans' projects a little bit later in the episode. But next we have D-06 Kerry, which is DX9's take on a masterpiece, Rodimus Prime.
Is it a masterpiece, though?
He's on my masterpiece shelf, so...
But does it belong there?
Yep, that's a good... Yeah, exactly.
He scales height-wise, right?
Height-wise, he fits.
Vehicle mode, it doesn't scale. That's
no,
the thing.
Yeah.
Well, I have...
Who displays their masterpiece figures in vehicle mode, though?
Yeah, but, to me, it should have to scale to both modes to definitely qualify. Otherwise, it's just a really tall classics figure.
No, that's actually a really good qualification, because part of the thing with masterpieces, the scale is consistent in both vehicle and robot mode. So, yeah, that's a good point.
Or at least as close as they can manage. And this is also a fairly reimagined design, too. I don't think it's really intended to be a masterpiece in the way we think of it generally.
No.
Right. Yeah.
And that's always been the problem for me actually picking this up, because I feel like it doesn't really have a home. Like, it's too tall to fit in with classic stuff that I have. But the vehicle mode also wouldn't be compatible if I had a masterpiece collection either and wanted to have, like, a lineup of Autobot cars.
It's kind of funny because I like things that like don't have a home. Those kind of things appeal to me. Like, I just like that it doesn't fit in. Like, I think that whenever they're different, I tend to like that. But
at one point in time, I could get behind that idea. But like, as I've gone along, things have gotten more expensive. My resources have diminished somewhat. My space has diminished considerably. I've got to be a lot more selective, and stuff has to it has to have a place it's going to go. Sure. Little things. Like, I bought, RID Combiner Force Spring Load, the little Legion size one.
Yeah, you did.
That's something I could just walk around with in my pocket if I wanted to. That's not like a big imposition to just have as a random thing, but something like this, I need to know what space it's going to occupy before I ever put the money down on it, and this just does not have that going for it.
Yeah, the only thing it has going for me is that it stands out. It doesn't go anywhere. That's the only reason I like it, but price-wise and character-wise, I don't like it at all. It's not worth it for me. I don't care for the character that much.
I'm interested in this because it is a fairly unique take on the design. It transforms all as one unit. I appreciate that aspect of it. But the reissue is still $165. Figured out research earlier that the original release was, which at least it didn't go up in price. That's a good thing. But, for all the caveats I have to put on this, it's not something that's really in the cards for me, I don't think.
If it ever went on sale for like around half price, I'd do it.
$80 would probably be my entry point.
Exactly. $80, I would do it. But $165, this is such an easy pass.
I still think it looks great on my masterpiece shelf. I just had to turn around and look at it again, and I'm like, he looks good. I mean, I like him. We were talking in pre-show, 165. It seemed like a lot, even though it was the same. That was the original price it came out at. But I think I think third party figures have gotten a little bit more. I don't know if I could say affordable, but the prices have definitely dropped a little bit. And now 165 for that figure seems high. Like, I don't think that figure should be anywhere past maybe 150 max. I would say a good target price for it would probably be about 140.
Let's say Carnifex is 185, and I would not put this anywhere near Carnifex. That's the
Carnifex is so much more, like, not even just more toy, it's more massive plastic. I mean,
yeah. Exactly. That's when I think of expensive third party, that's what I think of, because I bought it. And it's worth that, but there's very little else that I would spend that kind of money on. So whenever it starts to get up there, I just compare it to that toy. I'm just like, is it anywhere would I think it's about, you know, reasonable?
Well, yeah, and even like the big masterpiece scale Dinobots, like the big ones are, you know, 220, 230, or 230-ish. You know, but those are great big toys that have to be huge in both modes to really sell their image. You can kind of understand why they're up there at that higher end. And we shouldn't forget either, the one Omega Supreme, the Fans Toys Omega Supreme, whose real code name I can't remember because we started calling it Ouch Against My Wall.
Is it Giganticus? Terminus Giganticus?
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go. I just remember it's like the scientific names in the Roadrunner cartoons. That's how I always process
the That's great.
But like, even that ended up being reduced in price after Gabriel was announced, being, you know, the same mass, basically the same feature set for like $200 less than Terminus Giganticus was originally solicited at. So like, the margin on that was a lot higher. And I think we are getting into a point in time here where these third party companies, especially the really established ones like DX9, Mastermind, all of those kind of Fans Toys too, all of them that have this established history, they've been working with their factories, developing their connections over time, expanding their production runs, all of that stuff contributes to being able to lower the production costs more and more. We've had cases in the past where retailers will kind of do like partnering deals with the manufacturers too, and kind of put a little bit of that cost so that everybody can be a little bit in it less, and there's a more accessible retail price on it too. Like, as this is going along, we might be seeing less individual product come out less frequently. You know, our whole reissues and recolors theme for this week's episode is kind of a point to stuff keeps coming out, but it's not necessarily brand new designs, brand new releases. Yeah. But like, as we're going along, they're getting into this place where they're set like a legit company, and they have the ability to start creeping their prices down to be more competitive. And I think that's what we're looking at, and why things like Carry, which is still carrying its original price from almost 3 years ago at this point, because I believe that came out late-ish 2015 originally.
Something like that, yeah.
Thereabout. You know, it's still carrying the price that it had carrying. It still has its original price, and that seems disproportionate compared to some of the things we've gotten since, like Eric's great example of Carnifex. That's a really good point of comparison. It's a good data point, just because there is such a disparity between what those toys are. Isn't Carrie only like 10 inches tall or so in robot mode? And it's nowhere near the bulk of something like Carnifex.
Right. And of course, me, I always think about Fans Toys, and I think about, you know, Skyfire, who was, you know, massive, and I think he was 220 US retail, so he was a little bit more, but even like Galvatron, I think, was right around that $150 mark.
Yeah, and Phoenix has the Dinobot factor too, where it's a character that's supposed to be way bigger than everybody else. You kind of know going in, if you're getting something accurately scaled in that regard, you're going to be paying a little bit more for it. It's something you can kind of rationalize. And I think the point we're kind of getting to with Carrie is that at its price, we don't really have a way to rationalize what it's being sold at now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Next up on the list, we have Mastermind Creations reformatted R13 Spartan. Now, I have this figure already, but I'm super excited to see that it's coming out again, because this is a character that doesn't really have a good toy, except for, you know, this was a pretty decent one. And it's one that shot up in the eBay type of places, the secondary market, like a lot. So for this to be reissued, I think that's really good for the fandom.
I think if the fan vote that Impactor won had been for a Voyager, that maybe that would impact us slightly, but the fan vote was for a deluxe Impactor. So I don't think that anyone, I don't think there's going to be any crossing in terms of people who want to get that versus are going to get.
No, not really. And likewise, the subscription service Impactor that came out
that one.
toward the end of the club's run, like, that's mm-hmm. built on a really good mold, like probably my favorite Combiner Wars deluxe mold.
Yep. Yeah,
but again, it's a deluxe. It's not necessarily what everybody would envision for the character. You know, it's really tied into the specific theme of what it was released as, whereas this is something that can just focus on being the character as seen in the popular comic book that everybody started paying attention to Impactor because of.
I would say it has alternate parts to go along with Carnifex too for shooting his eye out. So this is that I've wanted, but I haven't gotten around to getting yet. So the fact that they're reissuing it is great for me.
Yeah. And then, you know, even the one you were talking about, the Botcon Impactor, I mean, he's probably not cheap on the secondary market. No, I can't imagine. Either.
No, he's, I think I got like, I him in Blue Streak for like 180. Oof. It was a lot. I really wanted the Blue Streak.
Yeah, some of those subscription service combiner figures go like crazy expensive when you can even find them. Like Needle Nose from the subscription set before Impactors is almost impossible to get unless you like dig and like really do your diligence on that. Impactor's probably not quite that bad, but like, yeah, you're probably going to pay about equal either way.
I feel like Mastermind is at least re-releasing some of their figures that they've done that are really popular still.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because next up we have Mastermind Creations R19 Kultor. And that's also a figure that's really hard to get.
That got like four runs when it first came out.
Yeah, something like that.
It literally got four production runs. I think I got mine on the third. Because it sold out everywhere the first two production runs.
Yeah.
So yeah, it makes sense they would reissue this one.
Did any of the subsequent production runs account for Tarn's actual identity being revealed in the comics after they, you know,
That head came with Megatron. They're Megatron.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's possible this reissue could come with it. I don't know, but none of the runs then did.
Mastermind is in a good place, I think, in the third-party companies, because they seem to understand a little bit better what their audience wants versus what their market will also sustain. You know, these are two popular figures they've released. They got a high aftermarket demand that maintained its strength. So, like, there's not really a question that doing re-releases of these is something that's going to be able to sell through. It's not going to be stock that's languishing around and making the retailers hesitant to keep going on newer products. You know, like our next item, I think, is kind of the exact opposite of that. But Mastermind is a lot more, they're a lot sharper on actually accomplishing what they want to accomplish while still keeping in mind the necessities of their business model.
Yeah, I think Mastermind Creations and Fans Toys are the two off the top of my head that they both kind of follow the same format, as in they'll release their first wave, and then if it's sold out really quick or merchandisers or the stores are requesting more, they'll do a second run, a third run, and then they'll shelf it for like a year, year and a half, and then if there's still a lot of demand for it, then they'll do another run.
Yeah, which like I said, they did four for Tarn when he first came out. They did four runs.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
They did like two runs before Tarn was even actually released, didn't they? Because like,
yeah, pre-order that was the first pre-order the second sold out. Run sold out before the first run even came out. Because that's why I had to get the third run, because I pre-ordered it before it came out, but it literally was from somewhere that had already gotten third run pre-orders up. Jeez.
I was going to say, we don't have any fans toys in here on the list, but a couple of their figures are being reissued too. Like their Galvatron's getting reissued and a couple other figures. So they are
recently though. We've gotten several Galvatrons recently though, haven't we? Isn't there at least three?
There's at least three.
The opening play.
The DX9.
Mania King, yeah.
Okay.
No, not Mania King.
Mania King's older and doesn't count in the same category.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Mania King's not even supposed to be like masterpiece-ish. I don't know if the open and play one was supposed to be that either, but it wasn't Mania King like 3 or 4 years ago now?
Yeah. It's actually getting older and has terrible elbows, so.
If only Kilby was here to talk about that with us. You see, I've mentioned his name, so now he has to listen to the episode.
So, I don't think we meant it this way, but it's kind of evenly spacing out these, because now we come to the why are you reissuing this question. This is the Lost Exo Realm LER-04 Severo, which is their, and they have, we didn't even put them all in the show notes. There's a bunch of the Lost Exo Realm figures that they are re-releasing or doing another run of, and the question is anyone interested? I mean,
is that their Dinobots?
That's their Dinobots and their female Dinobots, and yeah, pretty much. If you want any of these,
run. Do you think this is even another run, or is this just like here's all the stock we have left in our local warehouses? Hmm. You know, just take it.
I would say it's another run because they're doing pre-orders, and almost every store has the. I don't know though,
because if it was another run, I feel like they would space it out so it wasn't every single figure at once, right? That's the thing where I would kind of go with Chris, because that's a lot of things to run all at once.
Yeah, I mean, like, the way I'm seeing this, it seems more like a liquidation than a reissue series.
What are the prices on their female Dinobots? Because those do have slight interest for me.
$80 a piece, I believe.
Yeah, I was thinking that, or 90, somewhere in there.
I like Slash.
Now, are these about the same price as they were before? Because if it's liquidation, you'd almost hope that they'd want to get rid of them and maybe do a little less.
That's the other reason I didn't think they were liquidation, is because they're the same prices that
they were.
Maybe they
just decided to be like Toys R Us and liquidate, you know, just.
No doubt. I mean, I actually kind of dig the look of Grimlock, but not for $130.
I'd much rather get the Planet X. I want the Planet X.
I was going to say there's other Grimlocks I would favor before this one. The Planet X is high on my list.
I want the Hephaestus version of that one, though. The one that's like black and red with the bright greens on it.
Yep.
That's so cool. It's based off the Takara Fire Blast, I think.
Right.
Yeah,
which is not a good toy, but a good deco. And then the Planet X one looks like a good toy, so.
Fans Project was in a stronger position, or no, I'm mixing my metaphors here, so to speak. I would think Planet X would do Robots in Disguise inspired deco of their Grimlock, just because Takara did that Voyager sized one based off the Fall Cybertron mold.
I don't think they've done anything that was not like directly Fall of Cybertron inspired, though.
No, but they haven't.
If they were to branch out, that would be a smart first thing. Plus, that mold has sold well because they've done at least three versions of it. So,
and R.I.D. Grimlock's got good colors.
I'd be totally down for that one. That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got the first three Lost Exo Realm figures, which were. It doesn't even matter what they are, but they were okay. And then I skipped Grimlock, and I got the last one, whatever the name of him was, the Stegosaurus, and he was terrible.
How can you skip one? I don't understand how you can do that.
There were so many other things coming out. I just didn't, pick him up.
And it's not like there's a, lack of Grimlocks to choose from in general.
No, but yeah. I mean, like, if you're going to get 4 out of the 5 of a set, like, I feel like you should just...
Yeah, and Grimlock's the one you could skip because you got any number of other choices, including an official masterpiece.
I was kind of doing on these, though. I don't remember because there's so many Dinobots, I don't even bother keeping track of any of them except Planet X's.
I mean, I was kind of doing the Diaclone ones anyway, and I don't ever remember the Grimlock Diaclone one coming out. I think it is out because I checked Fans Project website and they did have one.
Yeah.
But I don't know when it came out, if it was a show exclusive or not.
I think everybody stopped caring by that point, mostly.
Yep, probably.
Yeah. So
who did the G2 Grimlock?
Well, that
Fans Toys.
Fans Toys has done it.
Kind of want that one.
The blue one?
Yeah, that's what Planet X should do their next deco of. They should do that and then our Robots in Disguise colors.
Do RD first, then we can have yours.
Do a 2-pack. I'll do both. I'll buy both. That wouldn't be a good idea. That's not a good business idea.
No, because Rolling Thunder Optimus Prime kind of proved that several years ago.
But we're getting another one, so
that's another episode.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. But in another, now we're back to the, yeah, that makes sense to reissue that. It's the D-11 Richtofen, which is DX9's take on Power Glide. And this is one of the only good masterpiece Power Glides that I know of.
Is there another one?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
Third-party Power Glide, but I don't think there's been masterpiece scale one.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think there's other masterpiece of it.
I think Make Toys did a smaller one to go along the same size as like their mini bots. But other than that, I don't think there are many other ones.
They need to redeco this as Viper.
Yeah.
They do. No, they don't, because then I would buy it.
Oh, yeah. But this one, they didn't seem to have a particularly large run in the beginning, but it's a very good interpretation of Power Glide. I mean, it's really nice.
I think an important thing to note is that we can't think of another masterpiece Power Glide, so that's certainly another thing going in its favor.
And there's nothing in the books that we know of. Like, there's no company that's come out and showed like a gray prototype of any that I can think of.
See, that's that I can think of qualifier there that always gives me pause, because like there's so much third party saturation.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much of that stuff we have to keep in mind all the time. It's really easy to just, like, completely blank on 3 or 4 different things in the same general area. So,
we know there aren't at least 6, because we wouldn't forget if there were 6. So.
This is true.
That's why people stop announcing Springers.
That's why I always throw that qualifier out there, is just because it's possible there's so much third-party stuff that it's possible I could have missed something, or someone's going to say, no, there was this one that was announced 4 years ago, but it never came out.
Well, that doesn't count.
like that Transform for Me Jazz or whatever, that never came out.
Oh, yeah.
I just saw another pre-order for it on Taobao today, which is why I thought about it. And I was like, is that thing still coming out? That was like 3 years ago they announced that, and since then all these other masterpiece jazzes have come out, like Toy World and Make Toys.
Has there been more than 2? I thought there was only 2 jazzes. I could be
wrong. There's Coolsville.
There's a third one, but that one doesn't fit in with masterpiece aesthetic at
all. That's the Generation Toys one.
Yeah, that's the one I like the most. Actually,
yeah,
it's the different aesthetic.
So there's just so many figures, it's hard to keep them all straight.
Yeah.
I think we'd actually get by with just like 2 companies doing masterpiece scale stuff, or maybe 3. So like you get one like Fans Toys that's leaning heavily into replicating the cartoon look, which kind of goes with the official masterpieces the best. You get someone like Generation Toy who's doing something completely different, you know, kind of their own interpretation of the designs.
I really like Generation Toy.
Then you go with like Mastermind and doing the ones based on the Studio Ox designs.
Mm-hmm.
And with those 3, I think you could cover enough of everyone's bases so that everybody could get something they're interested in enough to justify the purchase.
And Mastermind
might not be 100% what they want.
And Mastermind's doing stuff that isn't Masterpiece too.
Yeah,
I mean they do plenty of stuff.
Yeah, but like their Ocular Max is their Studio Ox masterpiece series.
Yeah. I'm just saying that they have plenty to sustain themselves.
Oh yeah.
They're really killing it.
Yeah, they are a surprisingly large company at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget, you get a funny mask with Richtofen as well, so you can match your.
Yes. And your official tracks.
Wait, official tracks? He never came with a mask.
Did it not?
No, it didn't come with it. I think a lot of people use the mask from one of the other things on
KFC, there are the X-Trans bots, Trailbreaker, or the Hoist came with a mask for a...
It would have had to be Hoist, because Hoist goes Hollywood.
Yeah, it was Hoist that came with the mask for the official.
Hmm.
Which is still one of the only reasons I want to buy that toy, but it's ridiculous to buy that toy for a mask.
So you'll do
Don't
it.
Don't act like that'd be the most ridiculous thing you've done.
That's true. But next up on the list, speaking of KFC and X-Trans bots, we have KFC EAVI Phase 5 Reflectron.
Yeah, I wonder what that is.
Yeah. This is their reflector.
I forgot.
I have no experience with this, but I heard it was one of the better reflectors.
That's surprising coming from KFC.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
Because Make Toys has one too as well, right? And then can't really think of who else has done one.
Fans did one.
What are the other things that KFC has done well? Like, people like their blaster, right?
I'm struggling to think of anything. Even KFC's chicken isn't that good.
Zing.
No, it's not very zingy either. Yeah, no, that's a really good question.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
If you think back a few years ago, some of the retailers were, let's say, encouraging KFC to change their company name to not be someone else's trademark.
Right.
Yeah.
And for a little bit they did, but it didn't really take.
Yeah, because it changed from KFC to, what was it?
I don't remember it either, but I know that they did for a little bit.
Ah, oh, jeez.
See, that's how well it took.
Yeah, exactly.
But one thing people do like from KFC is the upgrade parts for some of the official masterpieces.
Yep.
Yeah, the hands and that stuff. Like, those tend to get pretty rave reviews from the people who are into doing that. So that's one thing they apparently can do.
They can do, like, 1/10 of a figure. Not even.
Yeah, I'd say that's more probably like 1/20 of a figure.
Yeah, they could do 1/20 of a figure, right, if they really focus on it.
Yeah, and I don't have it in the show notes, but they're also re-releasing their, since we talked about it anyway, their blaster, which that's another one. Like, why would you do that? Because I'm pretty sure all the signs point to an official masterpiece blaster pretty soon.
Well, their blaster, I think, did so well because they did multiple versions of it, didn't they? And people seem to actually like that. So I feel like re-releasing the toy that people actually liked of yours is probably better than releasing anything else they will.
Yeah, after two or three waves, they got it right, because I got one of the first waves and it was terrible. The paint was terrible.
They did a metallic version too, and Twin Cast version.
Was the first, yeah, the metallic was the first.
Oh,
and
was
I got
it?
The first run of that, and it was bad.
Yeah, so they did two blaster decos and a Twin Cast, right?
Yeah, they reissued the Twin Cast. I'd buy that actually, probably. But I like Twin Cast. I'm still disappointed we never got a Titans Return Twin Cast.
Jason, why don't you go ahead and read the next one?
The EAVI Metal Phase 8-A Jungle Warrior Simba.
Oh, another fine KFC product.
Yeah, just going to say, also from Keith's Fantasy Club, KFC. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, this can actually, kind of sold this on the fact you can combine this with your Star Saber, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
That's
I remember people saying it actually wasn't that bad now that I'm thinking about it when combined with Star Saber. I think I may be thinking wrong, though, because this didn't have a lot of interest for me in particular.
I remember general positivity toward it.
I don't remember
pieces
like
falling off. That's what I remember.
I don't know. I
remember general positivity, but also like when I saw this in the show notes earlier, I was really struck with, oh yeah, I completely forgot that existed, which makes me think it was kind of a flash in the pan kind of thing. Like, people were really excited about it for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
And then just kind of stopped remembering it existed.
Which is not the type of thing you should reissue.
I wonder if people kind of, or they didn't prepare for as many people who might want it, and that's why they're doing it again, perhaps?
I never noticed anybody saying, boy, I wish I could get a Simba still.
No, that's true.
Yeah, that's, like, that's everyone that I thing. Know of that wanted it got it. Like, yeah, as you mentioned, I don't know anyone that was like, I wish I could get one. It's either you got it or you didn't. So I don't know.
This one Although does. I don't know everyone, so there's
I don't
that,
think you'd but... really get a lot of people either who would be after this that don't like own a Masterpiece Star Saber already, and you have to think that the, you know, you're looking at a fairly small crossover in that Venn diagram just in general.
Yeah, maybe people with Star Saber missed out the boat the first time. Like, hey, you guys should redo that so I can get with my Star Saber. Who knows?
I don't know anyone that got it without Star Saber.
Well, no, why would you?
I never really felt like Star Saber was really that popular of a Masterpiece figure either.
Yeah, I think I remember a couple people saying that they actually like Simba was like kind of the better half of the combination with Star Saber. And I was like, ooh,
fighting words.
Or they say Star Saber sold really well in Japan or China or Asia, wasn't it like the number one figure for a while?
That would
I recall that.
And then that would also kind of make sense why they're reissuing it if it would sell really well over there.
Yeah, it's not for us. It's for the other side of the world.
What we call third party does have a huge market over there that we tend to forget about sometimes. So
It is third party. Like, you can have licensed third party and unlicensed third party, but it's all third party because it's not the original manufacturer. It's not the first party manufacturer.
Yeah, but it's not. I was going to say, just calling it third party isn't really right, though. Because
it's not. You are correct about that. That's why a lot of times when I'm writing news articles about this, unlicensed. I will specifically say unofficial or unlicensed third party, because it does add the necessary specificity just to not confuse it with something that might otherwise be interpreted as an authorized product. Like in the video game realm, there's all kinds of third party accessories, both licensed and unlicensed. You don't really like the way the controllers and stuff are made now. You don't really get unlicensed third party controllers anymore, but boy, you used to.
Yeah.
That was Mad Catz's whole business model.
Yeah, it was.
But then there's the whole thing with like the third party charm that's coming up, like the
Flame Toys is a license.
Yeah, say that's licensed, but then everybody's like, it's third party, which it is, but everyone's thinking that it's in the same category as unlicensed, which it's not. So that's why
And the funny thing here too is that BotCon Toys also technically could be called third-party toys because,
Oh, wow.
Well, see, here's what happened since the whole third-party came around. Most people think that first-party, of course, is
Hasbro or Takara,
but then second-party is licensed.
Right, and that is a very popular misconception.
That's not true.
Like, you know, even I've made that mistake before. Vangelis, who is really, you know, in tune with like the technical side of a lot of the toy manufacturing stuff, you know, he was mistakenly propagating that for a little while too, before people got out and were like, well, no, technically the second party is the consumer. First party is the manufacturer. Second party is the consumer. Third party is everybody else making stuff for the second party.
And then KOs are fourth party.
and upscaled KOs are 3.5 party.
There you go, 3.5 party.
3 to the second
power
party.
It's not quite a KO, but it's not quite a third party figure. So it's right in the middle there. But yeah, what do you guys think with all these reissues and recolors happening? There's certainly, I mean, we've talked about this and people said we were nuts, of course.
What else is new?
But we've talked about this and we said, you know, it seems like third party is shrinking, and I'm still getting that feeling. Like, there's nothing to make me say, oh yeah, we were totally wrong on that.
Well, I mean, this doesn't exactly scream of expansion, so.
I would say this could be kind of seeing who can get some money flowing back in so they can keep growing. And I think that the people who can do well on all their reissues are going to be the ones that do keep growing. And then the ones who don't might be the ones who die out if they can't, as you say, if they can't even get money now to fund a new project, then they don't even have a chance of, you know, getting out. But if you can get reissues that bring in money so you can work on more new projects, then you're probably doing better. So, as we specified, MMC is probably going to do just fine with all these reissues, but yeah.
I think there's a lot of MMC's catalog that could be reissued and perform pretty well. You know, they've released a lot of products. Not all of them are easy to get now. There's been some stuff like the Hearts of Steel-based stuff, which has basically come out at direct-to-clearance prices at some of the U.S. retailers. But I think that's more like matters of back stock, and it's, a lot of that stuff is also before MMC got really good.
Yeah,
that was a lot of their early product lines, which, you know, for being early in their life cycle, that is still some good stuff. Like, surprisingly so, after that first fumble with Nightmare for Commander, which they went back and completely fixed. But even if you don't look at it as a matter of the third party scene shrinking, the reissues are not a sign of like an unhealthy situation. It is an easy way to bring in some extra money if you know, they need something to funnel into upcoming projects and they can't necessarily get their normal investment channels behind it, maybe. That's not a sign of bad health. It's just a sign of they might want to take a different kind of risk that someone else is not really comfortable supporting for them. There's a lot of ways to interpret this. And one thing we have to keep in mind, too, a lot of people think of third party in the way it started several years ago, where it was a completely alternative business model to how the official product worked. Nobody really paid attention to like part count limits, paint app limits. You know, the cost of production ended up being what it was, and then the retail price would be set based on that. With the official product, it's exactly the reverse. You know, from the moment you start working on it, this is the target retail price we have to hit. Everything else has to conform to that value. So when you start thinking of the third party scene where it can do literally anything it wants to in pursuit of creating the one product they've envisioned at whatever cost, well, that's not something that's really sustainable in the long term, because no business works that way. Certainly not in the way these businesses have to work. We're kind of looking at them finally reaching that point, to the same place our official companies got to through their course of business. We have to maximize the use of all the resources that we've created to make this product. We've got to find a way to keep using that to get more of that investment back as much as possible, because it's essentially free money. I mean, not to steal Adonism here, but there is money on the table with every mold that they use once and then don't ever come back to. So like the Tarn redeco / slight retool of the, what the hell did they even call that thing? The
Autobot Face Tarn. Asterisk? Adderisk?
Yeah. I don't remember. Culture asterisk, yeah. You know, that's a good example of that too, because it's not based on anything in particular. It's just that's something else they can do with that without really adding more to it to any significant means. Because like they're doing the Thunderclash, which is based heavily off of that tooling, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
But that's new stuff they have to develop and engineer and test. Like there's a whole process that goes along with that. So reissues like this, recolors, it's all just a sign of, I think it's actually a sign of they're doing better business for themselves. Like they're doing better business practices as they mature by maximizing the use of everything they've created so far. They're getting as much, they're squeezing as much back out of the money they've sunk into their business. So I think it's actually a positive sign for the health and longevity of these companies, as long as the reissues sell. Because I mean, any stock they produce that sits at the retailers is a risk of the retailers are not going to buy the next thing they want to sell to them. Mm-hmm. But it's they're not sitting on their investment and basically throwing money away. So there's definitely a positive side to this, even if it makes it look like the third parties aren't making anything new for us anymore. It's all just reruns. I mean, you know, but everything like this basically will lead to something else, as long as the company does not have some disaster unfold along the way. And that's true of anybody in any situation.
I think, like you said, Mastermind is fine. You know, they have new stuff coming out. There's stuff we know about that's not out yet that is new product. The only company we can't say that about is Fan Project. And
well, maybe
I
not
think,
the only one, but they're a good example to use.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're probably done, you know, after this remaining stock or rerun comes out that we're seeing. I don't think we're going to see anything new from.
Yeah. And even Beast Structure is kind of it's in the same vein here. Like, they've got those toolings, and this is probably something that was in the long-term plans to be done anyway. Yeah. And they're just kind of pumping this out while they still have their resources lined up. I would imagine anything of worth from Fans Project in terms of, I don't want to say IP, but like the actual design elements they have, like their CAD files and that stuff, and also like their personnel, the talent that works for them, all that stuff is probably going to various other places in the third party spectrum. Like, we've talked in the past on RFC here and there about how some third party companies dissolve and then reform into other entities, or will get reabsorbed by other existing companies, and that's probably what's going on here. Fans Project itself will stop existing, but the people that made the Fans Project stuff what it was will go other places and kind of contribute into what those other companies are doing, and we'll have more interesting stuff down the line from that. And the way Fans Project got toward the end on its own, I'm not going to miss it. I'll be perfectly honest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although I'm mad because you just reminded me that I really want the Hearts of Steel Shockwave, the Cyclops, the submarine one. And I found one online, just one.
Wasn't it being reissued or blown out from backstock or something? I thought Dom was talking about that a few weeks ago.
I would like that because I really want that toy.
And it's better than a submarine. It's an ironclad battleship.
Yeah,
but it doesn't float.
Also known as the coolest thing to come out of the Civil War.
Yeah.
Wait, did you just say it doesn't float?
It doesn't float.
No, Vangelis tested that in an infamous YouTube video. It was fun.
Does the little submarine float? It has like a little submarine drone. I wonder if that one floats. It's
probably not.
I know, it probably doesn't. But if you don't test it, you can just imagine that it does.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure if you, you know, got some silicone and you just like sealed up all the transformation seams and stuff, you could make it float.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, anyway, this is the time we talk about all the awesome stuff you can buy on Amazon, which you probably already do. And all you have to do is go to tfradio.net/Amazon and use that link to buy your Amazon stuff. And they'll throw us a couple pennies back, or Brian Kilby, a couple pennies back to keep the lights on and keep us recording shows. So if you can do that, they usually have great deals on Transformers, especially if you like movie Transformers.
Yeah, Studio Series is up there.
Jason, yeah. did you get your Megatron yet?
I did a slow shipping on him so I could get a dollar credit and digital credit or something. He will be here by he'll be here by Friday, but the way Amazon usually works, I'll ship it like tomorrow and I'll have it on Wednesday or something. So
yeah.
But yes, Megatron is coming after my lament on RFC last week. I did go ahead.
The Voyager, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yes. We're not that mean. That we like.
I would like to handle the leader class one, but I probably would not pay more than like half its original price.
It's not worth half the original price. It's.
I said I wouldn't pay more than that. I would still like to aim lower if I could.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, but guys, anything else?
I mean, I could go on talking at length as I have through various points in the show, but I think everybody's probably sick of that already. So, you know, that's probably where money went this week, and your diecast and RFC reviews on YouTube, et cetera, et cetera.
And I'm at ChrisRTXV on Twitter.
Excellent.
This was a good episode to talk a lot because, you know, there was an actual theme and topic, and I think we covered a lot of good ground on it. And hopefully someone saw something they want. I know I'm looking at Kultor, so.
Did you ever get Spartan?
No.
You should consider that too. I had Spartan for a while.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
So I partly ended up selling it because it was kind of sitting around untransformed a lot of the time.
Right.
Because, you know, third party stuff has a tendency to have more steps than maybe are explicitly necessary. And also, selling it kind of helped me make my way to Jolanta last year or so. You know, there was purposes toward letting it go, and I might at some point pick it up again. I don't know, but with the reissue out or coming up, that will probably be an easier task than it was a couple weeks ago. So
now the question is, though, do I keep my Iron Factory DJD or do I just forget them and get Kultur? Because after hearing that basically their Bruticus is a, you know, slap a bunch of parts on the toys and they stick together as a combiner, maybe I'm not so excited about the DJD combiner anymore.
I'd keep the little ones too. I mean,
no,
we haven't really heard anything about that lately, have we?
They're not slated till October, so
yeah. I was gonna say they weren't slated for a while. I think they just wanted to jump on the hype of everyone being excited for the DJD.
Right.
I would say get Kultur as your Tarn, and then get the Iron Factory as your DJD.
I would just say do both.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying is do both. Like keep get Kultur as your like Tarn figure because that's everyone's favorite.
Oh, okay.
So you have a good Tarn, but then also you can get the Iron Factory DJD, so you can have an entire DJD. I wouldn't recommend getting all of them.
I would still like to pick up the electric chair one at some point.
So you're saying spend all the money? Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, spend all the money.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the moral of the show.
Yeah, pretty much.
Spend all the money.
Okay, I guess I'll do that. Thanks, guys. Yeah,
but I'm really interested in anyone who's listening. If you have a different take on what we talked about today, or you know, you want to comment on what we talked about today,
if you get people.
Yeah, I mean, tell us if you're listening on iTunes. You know, you can always contact us at what's the 989.99 GoBot. 931.99 GoBot.
Yeah, you can leave us a voicemail or send a text message to 931.99 GoBot. That's 931. Hang on, it's in the show notes here. 931-994-6268. That's our voicemail and text message line. You can tweet at us at TF Radio. We'll see those messages as well.
Or you can go on YouTube and leave a comment if you find the episode, or if you're watching it on YouTube, just comment right there.
There you go.
I think contact at tfradio.net will work for email. Even if that's not explicitly a valid address, it will probably just, you know, default to Kilby, and then, you know, he'll have to forward it on to us. So
we'll make Brian
make
do
Kilby
work.
Do work. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, there's like a dual benefit there, because like we'll see your comments and you will also inconvenience Brian Kilby, and like there's no losers there except Brian Kilby.
Which makes us the winners, yeah. But also, if you're on Twitter, definitely tweet hashtag Lost Exo Realm before Unicron for sure.
So where's my third party Unicron? I can ask that on the show because
yeah, it'll come someday. I have no doubt it'll come someday.
I mean, there was the like Unicron's head that somebody was producing.
Diecast got that.
I know that's not exactly what you're looking for, but
yeah, I got Unicron's head. I need more than
that. Yeah, right.
I remember the ugly.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, he kept making the jokes about it. That's why I remember he got that.
I mean, yeah, we got Omega Supreme. We had three companies do Omega Supreme. Can one of them just do a Unicron?
No, because that would make you happy.
That's where our money that went this week. So actually, didn't go because pre-orders. But we'll see you next time.
Bye, everyone.
This has been There Goes My Money.